Could rationing of energy happen in Europe over the next year, given the Russian invasion? I'm David Brancaccio. Crude oil is at $110 a barrel today. A year ago, it was $66. Russia is also a major producer of natural gas that keeps many a household, and especially Germany, warm in the winter. Europe did increase its storage of natural gas ahead of Russia's Ukraine invasion, and spring is coming, but energy challenges are not going away. Let's go right to The Economist magazine's global energy and climate innovation editor, Vijay Vaitheswaran. Welcome.
Hello there.
You've been reviewing the situation given what has followed Russia's invasion, and you find that Western Europe's energy situation is... it's a tough spot.
Yeah, this is not the first time we've seen this movie either, right? Because Europe has relied on Russian gas throughout the Cold War. And since Putin's been in power, he's rattled his saber a few times over Ukraine, even cutting off the gas very briefly. So Europe's had previous warning shots, and they did not do enough to get off of Russian oil or reduce dependency.
What do you think, Vijay, does this dramatic reminder about Europe's vulnerability to Russia hasten Europe's move toward renewables, or is this move toward renewables somehow, does it get in the way of the energy independence from President Putin's Russia that Europe is now thinking about?
This is the big question. Europe faces what's called a trilemma, right? They want to keep costs affordable for consumers. They're very big on climate, but the dimension, the third leg of that trilemma is energy security, is where they got very complacent. So now they're going to double down on making sure the lights stay on and trying to get off of Russian gas. That's going to mean for the green lobbies in Europe, who are very strong, and the green thinkers, let's have a lot more renewables to get off of Russian gas. That's their first reflex, and that's going to be a part of a lot of countries' response. Here's the dirty little secret, though. You know, renewables don't always work. We saw that last summer when the wind didn't blow for weeks and there was a very low hydro in Northern Europe. And so they need what's called firm power and backup power. And for that, believe it or not, there are several countries in Europe thinking about a revival of nuclear power. And Germany, for example, is explicitly bringing back natural gas as a backup for a big rollout of the renewables that they want. And so we're actually seeing a radical change in mindset amongst the very ideological parts of Europe that used to bet only on renewables.
Now, you talk to an expert who used the R word, maybe not today or tomorrow, but perhaps in a year. Rationing in Europe, rationing energy, like to industry or to actual households?
We've had a bit of a taste of this. If you ask the question, hey, how big a deal is it if Russia cuts off all the natural gas? That's the real problem for Europe, though they take a lot of oil as well. Oil is a global market with a fungible commodity, whereas gas comes by pipeline from Russia, and they're quite reliant on it, up to 40%. But if really they lose a significant part of their gas, then the various options, running your coal plants a little more aggressively, getting LNG, of course, and other sorts of efficiency measures, all sorts of things, higher prices leading to more efficiency won't be enough, is the thinking from some experts. And you're going to have to maybe shut down probably industrial users first. And that will be unpopular, but not nearly as unpopular as cutting off grandma in the middle of winter.
Vijay's piece in The Economist this week is called Tackling the Trilemma. With oil at more than $100 a barrel and gas markets in turmoil, Europe reconsiders its energy future. Vijay Vaitheswaran is Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at the magazine. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
And as you've been hearing, reports indicate that no radioactivity has been released after apparent Russian shelling led to a fire for a time today at a Ukrainian nuclear power plant. Here's the BBC's James Waterhouse in Kyiv.
It was a five-story training building which was struck at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Ukraine State Emergency Service initially said they couldn't reach the site because of the shelling by the Russian forces. The fire is now out, but one report quoting Ukraine's nuclear inspectorate says the plant's been seized by Russian forces.
This is adding to volatility this morning on financial markets. London's FTSE index down more than 3% now. Frankfurt's down 3.7%. Here, stock index futures are down more moderately, with the Dow future down 260 points, 0.8%. With similar drops for S&P and NASDAQ futures. After a renegotiation, the settlement with the Purdue Pharma's Sackler family for their role in the deadly opioid epidemic is now up from $4.5 billion to as much as $6 billion. States and tribes are on board mostly, but the settlement over pushing the painkiller OxyContin could still be challenged and still awaits a judge's review. The big reports on hiring and unemployment in America are due in just over an hour and a half. Forecasters are thinking a robust 450,000 more people were on payrolls in February. As coronavirus cases tapered down, unemployment may drop below 4% again. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Job creation in the private sector was strong in February, up 475,000, according to payroll processor ADP. There were big gains in service industries that have so far lagged in recovery from successive pandemic shutdowns and virus surges. Meanwhile, after rising during the Omicron wave, jobless claims have fallen back again to pre-pandemic levels, a sign employers are hesitant to lay off workers. Wages, meanwhile, have been rising strongly, driven up by labor shortages and state and local minimum wage hikes. Average hourly earnings for production and non-supervisory workers rose 5.7% year over year in January, but that's still slower than prices, which rose 7.5%. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And back to Eastern Europe, Google has stopped selling online ads in Russia as Russian authorities crack down on independent media not towing the party line on the invasion. Airbnb has suspended all of its operations in Russia and Belarus. The company is working to offer free short-term housing to up to 100,000 people fleeing Ukraine. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are J.C. Bold and Jessen Dueler. Our intern is Jarrett Dang. I'm David Brancaccio. It's Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.